What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah. Well, this guy we're playing this week is a pretty good defensive coordinator. And I feel like I can't get rid of him. It seems like every year, once or twice or three times, he's there. And he does a great job. And then I always say Bill Belichick is probably the best coach I've ever had a chance to go against in my career as a head coach. So I've enjoyed watching the Lions this year and the job that their offensive coordinator did there. And now he's now the head coach at Chicago. You're doing good though, man. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say we didn't make enough of that when it happened. Andy Reid, perhaps the greatest coach of all time, certainly top three or four at this point, when asked about his rivals as head coaches, talks about a few legends, and then finds himself just stream of consciousness going to the Lions play caller, Ben Johnson. Woo! Said he's enjoyed watching the Lions the last 3 years and mentions that he's now the head coach in Chicago. Anthony Herron, I'm not sure we made enough of that. That's pretty fascinating that Andy Reid brings him up.
It is. It's a nice position for the Bears to be in and very different than where we've been with recent Bears, whether it's been head coach or play caller, because we've at least seen what a true Ben Johnson offense looks like. And we've been kind of waiting and wondering whether it's been, you know, Matt Nagy or Luke Getsy or Shane Waldron, like what can one of those guys truly do as the actual play caller at the NFL level? We already have all that evidence from Ben Johnson in recent years in Detroit.
I'm going to give you credit. I think I've done it before, but there was a moment when I was ripping apart Mitch Trubisky. And it was midway through the 2019 season when the Bears were flailing. We're all trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And you said, you know what? You tell you what I'm not enjoying is the coach right now. Like you got me thinking, well, is Matt Nagy the problem, or at least a bigger part of the problem than I'd thought? And you were saying how he wasn't adjusting and how he wasn't changing the offense. And then we watched the rest of his time here. He never did because he only knew that one damn thing. Yeah. Ben Johnson's coached every position around an offense. He's coached four different people in different places. He's had 3 years of doing his own thing, but the offensive line, he has used the offensive line in wide zone and inside zone and gap scheme. He's run different things for different guys. Yeah. This is a dude who's got a lot of different tools in the toolbox, doesn't he, in a different way?
Just as a prospect. You know, we talk about players, especially this time of year, and we're getting into the combine and draft preparation and trying to devise what makes sense for the Bears and how they should go about things. And so we're accustomed to thinking about whether or not players seem like high-level prospects and how high is their ceiling when they're coming in here, but just as a coach, as a head coaching prospect.
Yeah, they're prospects too.
Yes, and Ben Johnson, having never been a head coach before, there's a lot of projection to what we think he can be here in Chicago. But, you know, the scouting reports you get from other folks who've operated around him in Detroit and have seen him along the way. I know you guys talked to Mike Martz at one point just about the early iterations of Ben Johnson and what kind of those initial ingredients were that have led him to become what he's become as an assistant. But this as a head coach, for what his offense was in Detroit, his leadership style, there's a lot that's really gratifying, and especially because he was there. He predated Dan Campbell and was there as Detroit figured out how to grow into what they became and now being one of the behemoths in the NFC.
Yeah, Texture says that after Matt Nagy and Andy Reid was talking about him so much, I don't care what Coach Reid says. Remember, Nagy and others on the Andy Reid tree, he talks up everybody on his tree. Mm-hmm. This is just a random shout out for a dude who has no affiliation with.
And Andy Reid's tree kept hitting for a long time, too. Now, that doesn't prove he's not willing to be a little dishonest about his guys, but I mean, it's a lot of assistants who are doing big things.
But him bringing up Ben Johnson in his stream of consciousness is different. Right. But anyway, we'll find out.
Because he's got no loyalties to Ben Johnson.
Correct.
They haven't worked together before.
Correct. Yeah. And no incentive in trying to help his friend get a job or anything like that. A couple of different Ben Johnson anecdotes. One a story and then one a nugget from an article that came out today. Let's start with the story. And this from our friend Jarrett Payton. Tanny, this was Payton on the morning show. Is that correct? With Mully and Hall?
Midday show.
Oh.
The guy Dan Bernstein.
Yeah, no, I don't listen.
I mean, who does?
Funny moment on the morning show today as they were talking about Matas Pazelis struggling.
Oh, they were talking about Matas Pazelis again?
Yeah, but they were talking about him struggling, and the topic was, why did Matas struggle? And Mully just threw in real quick, Bernstein stink.
And then did he pause for effect afterwards?
No.
Is it really Kendall's fault, though? Kendall called him Cooper Flagg.
No, man.
Occasionally, Mully can still cook out here when they let him.
You know?
They don't let him cook out here, though. You know?
My the goodness. Dude's a Michelin star winner. Are you kidding me? He's cooking every day.
Let Mully cook.
I think that was trending the other night, actually. Let Mully cook,
I left long and hard while at the Mariano's listening to the Pick Six. As I do, you can find me at the Mariano's.
And then someone came up to you and said how much they love Sage Rosenfeld.
Didn't bring that up. Always early at the Mariano's. Get there. Those 6 a.m. Mariano's runs, man. I recommend.
Oddly enough, I don't even text with Bernsey that much. I truly, in the commercial break, did just text him because we were talking on Monday about the gumbo that some friends of ours made. We went over to their house for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he was asking me the meat in the gumbo.
Now, is it a gumbo or a jambalaya?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was a gumbo.
How does this gumbo get you closer to a championship?
Right. One element in it was shrimp, and of course had the rice and everything, but there was something he substituted because the husband runs a restaurant. Amira is one of the restaurants he runs. He's got a couple of different spots in the city, and they actually just moved out to the burbs too, and he put something called sujuk in the, as opposed to andouille.
It's my favorite Stevie Wonder song.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one, right? But it has like a very unique sort of texture to it, but it has some spice to it like andouille sausage does. It was great gumbo. I just couldn't remember what that meat actually was, what the name of it was.
Sajuke.
Yeah, my wife just texted me what the name of it was. So I was just texting that to Dan a moment ago.
Whoever created the difference between gumbo and jambalaya, buzz off.
Really?
It's so stupid. Jambalaya, you cook the rice in it. Gumbo, you put the stuff on top of the rice. Same thing.
Gumbo's a little bit soupier than jambalaya, too, right?
Gumbo says it's more liquidy. It's a terrible food take.
Thank you.
No, it's not.
It's horrendous.
And how often do we get to say that? That is one of the worst food takes I've ever heard.
They're very different.
So you're telling me that if someone says to you, hey, do you want some gumbo? You'd say, yeah, but I don't want jambalaya.
No, I'm saying they are
different things.
They are two different things, but there's no reason for them to be.
Well, sure there
is. What I'm saying.
Some people don't like a stew.
No, it's stupid.
Have you had sujuk, by the way?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Add it to Shane's meat. It's worth your time.
The thing about sujuk is that after you eat it, you can feel it all over. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody.
See, Daddy wouldn't get that joke.
No. I saved it for you. So Jarrett Payton on the Midday Show, apparently with Dan Bernstein, talking about having run into a high-profile player who talked to him about Ben Johnson.
I have not seen people outside of our Chicago bubble that are
as excited as like I am about what the future could hold for this team, and nothing but great things. I think the one thing that jumped out to me is there was all these positive things, but then until you talk to people that are actually, you know, played for him or been around him and actually played for him, then it's like, all right, well, we got that chance. I got that chance Friday at our Walter Payton Man of the Year service day at the Boys and Girls Club. We're about to leave because we had to go to another event. And as we're leaving, all I see is this person run around, and it's Jared Goff. He was the Lions nominee. And so he runs over and he's like, listen, he talked to my mom and myself. He was like, listen, I appreciate you guys so much. We're like, we were talking to him, how amazing he was. And he's like, I won't be there on Sunday for the brunch, but I just want to tell you guys, thank you for this opportunity once again. And then he ran back to get back with the kids that he was working with. So we're about to get on the bus. And I was like, so I got to go. I got to go. I didn't get a chance to ask him a Ben Johnson question. So I ran back over, tapped him. And I'm like, JG, man, I got to ask you a question, man. He goes, what's up? And I go, please, like, tell me something about Ben Johnson. And he looks me dead in the eyes and he goes, man, you guys got a good one, man. I was like, for real? He goes, man, you guys got a good one. I go, that's awesome. And I go, tell me more. I need to know more. And the one thing that everybody has said about him that has helped him throughout his coaching career, close friends, they all talk about his demeanor. Like, when you look at him, it looks like he's a really nice guy, but he's a hard, you know what, when it comes to being a coach. And he looks at me and he goes, JP, man, the dude is no nonsense, bro. He don't put up with any of that crap. And I was like, I said, that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. But he kept going, just talking about how he helped his career and how easy he was to be able to have conversations with when it came to the X's and O's. But not only the X's and O's, but also life. He's like, we would talk X's and O's and it would transition to our talk about life and what's going on with the family and this and that. So it's like, he goes, I'm going to miss him, but I'm happy for him. And I was like, man, and we could talk to you could talk to anybody. Talking to Jared Goff about Ben Johnson, that dude helped him resurrect his career and get it back on track.
So that's amazing. That's really cool because Jared Goff has talked about Ben Johnson. He was on SiriusXM NFL Radio last week and said, he's a hell of a coach. He's a guy that made a ton of difference in my career. I'm obviously a big fan of his. I wish he didn't have to be in our division. He's going to do a great job. Hopefully not too good, though. I'll always be a fan. We'll always have a good relationship. That's all on the record. What Jared Payton just described is just dude to dude in a genuine exchange after Jared Goff was being real and somewhat emotional talking to Connie Payton and Jared about the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So to get that realness,
right.
Anthony, you know that's a different context. That's a different atmosphere. And we need to see a coach who's a no-nonsense guy. We know that the Bears need that. Mm-hmm. And you got an offensive visionary, theoretically, and a football nerd. But if he's not a no-nonsense guy, we got troubles around here.
And, you know, by comparison to, you know, I'm thinking back to last offseason, just after the Shane Waldron hire, and doing a little bit of kind of, you know, periphery digging on that and talking on the station about my concerns then for just how much of a domineering leader, how much of a detailed, demanding sort of approach does Shane Waldron have, because Caleb Williams will benefit from that as a coach. And everything I was hearing about Shane Waldron was that he's not that in his leadership style, and it concerned me. What I was initially hearing about Ben Johnson coming out of Detroit was he's obviously an offensive wizard, but he wasn't the guy that was very often tasked with sort of commanding the room and being the personality that had to galvanize. That was obviously so much of Dan Campbell and what he was and his magnetism with that organization top to bottom. But what we've seen so far here in Chicago, and then hearing moments like that from players being willing to talk both on and off the record about him, and even some of the clips, like, you know, from the St. Brown Brothers podcast and them going back and forth with Caleb about some of those things, he definitely seems to have ingratiated himself with that locker room. And it's one thing to have an earned respect for a coach because you've had success with him. But the way we hear the players who played for Ben Johnson on that offense over the last few weeks here talking about him does seem to go beyond just the respect that a coach earns because he's, you know, he's got a high mind of it. They definitely seem to have, you know, a real bond that's developed with him.
Seems like it. So look, lots of reason to be excited. If I told you that The Athletic did a poll of 10 different...
Jambalaya versus Gumbo?
No, they did not. It was 10 different NFL executives and coaches ranking the top five NFL head coaching hires in this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where would you suspect that Ben Johnson ranked? Because it's all been seashells and balloons,
right,
and lollipops and puppy dogs and everything like that, right? He's not first. He's not first in these rankings.
That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't?
No.
Because who would you think would be number one?
Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel is number one. So they ranked the head coaching hires according to 10 NFL coaches and executives, and Mike Vrabel finished first. Vrabel, who won 3 Super Bowls as a player, will command a more disciplined culture in New England. Vrabel's been a successful head coach with bona fide leadership ability, which is underrated with the personalities in today's game, said an executive. And he has a quarterback, says the executive, because they like Drake May. Mm-hmm. So interesting. So you have Vrabel far and away number one with 48 points out of a total 50 points. Okay?
Okay.
Second is a tie between Pete Carroll and Ben Johnson.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. So, and here's the write-up on Ben Johnson from The Athletic, who was second in the most impressive, best NFL head coaching hire. Ben Johnson has been the it candidate for a couple years. Johnson was seen as being overly selective during the 2024 hiring cycle, but there was a growing belief midway through this past season that he'd land with the Bears. One former head coach liked the hire. Quote, if Johnson can bring Campbell's program focus with him, unquote. So that speaks to what you're talking about, mm-hmm. right? If he can bring the focus. The Bears have the pieces, assuming quarterback Caleb Williams can reach his potential. With Johnson's ingenuity, improvements on the offensive line, and a defense that should be at least above average under coordinator Dennis Allen, there's reason to like the fit. But each branch of the organization still needs to prove it as a unified vision. That hasn't always been the case in Chicago. And then here's the quote from a NFL executive that voices the Ben Johnson concern. Quote, I'm still unclear on the fit. I just think Johnson is intrigued by the quarterback and his physical skill set. Unquote. So really, it's about the entire organization, about every branch of the organization still needing to prove it has a unified vision.
Unsure about the fit. I don't know. That one doesn't make as much sense to me. Him being tied on this list with Pete Carroll is pretty impressive to me because just in proven track record comparing one to the other, Pete Carroll is obviously a guy who won a national championship in college, has won a Super Bowl in the National Football League. And now, yes, he's in his early 70s. And, you know, I'm certainly willing to admit I'm a bit ageist on that as I thought about whether or not it would make sense for the Bears to hire Pete Carroll. But saying that Ben Johnson is as impressive a hire as Pete Carroll, I think that still is really nice regard for what the Bears were able to get done.
And this thing about worried about the fit and worried about the organization is, you know, it's learned cynicism, but is this a different time? Is this a different moment in the organization? Courtney Cronin was talking about this on ESPN, and she talked to somebody on CHGO, excuse me, Courtney Cronin talking to CHGO, and she shared a thought on having spoken to somebody else who was involved as a interviewee in the Bears head coaching search.
I think how Kevin Warren phrased it was that, you know, you get what you pay for. You paid for the best coach this cycle, the one that everybody wanted. I know what Mark Davis said, oh, we didn't offer him a contract with the Raiders. Well, if you get spurned, you're probably going to try to do some damage control with the messaging however you want to, but let's not make it, you know, Tom Brady wanted him. Jacksonville wanted him. Like, everywhere wanted him. So that cost, there's an expensive cost associated with that. And I don't know if it was the previous regime, if it would have gotten done like this. So for the Kevin Warren impact, I think was significant. I mean, even going into the process of when they started pulling in candidates for interviews, I had a story, I guess it would have been like 2 or 3 weeks ago now, where in the lead of my story was how they were going to do things differently for in-person candidates.
Right.
They were going to fly people in first-class accommodations, which I know doesn't seem like a lot, but to the process, it does. And they've really, like, some of the coaches I talked to that interviewed but didn't get this job, one quote that didn't make it in the story that I wish, you know, I think was, you know, really telling was that, can I swear on this?
Yeah.
Said, like, they've got their together. Like, yeah. That's the one takeaway that one of the candidates I spoke with that really struck me was that he felt the process, even though, like, you're bummed you didn't get the job, he felt the process was really well done.
Wow. So there you go. So
I was actually quoting Courtney Cronin earlier when we were coming back from break. That's who I was trying to channel there when I was talking to you.
You were telling me to get my bleep together.
Yes, uh-huh.
Like the Bears clearly had their bleep together.
Apparently
in the coaching process.
Right.
Yeah. So it goes to whether you think this is a new time or not. And Ben Johnson's agent talked a lot about that. Other coaches involved in the process, like Courtney, has talked a lot about that, that this was a better process and that Ryan Poles is a smart guy who learned from the mistakes of his previous few years.
Let's hope so. Let's definitely hope he has learned from that. And, you know, perfection is a difficult thing for anybody to try and attain. And the amount of turnover that there would have been the potential for the Bears to make if they move on from Ryan Poles as well, then what do? If you bring in not only a new coach but a new GM as well, you haven't fully given the opportunity to see the vision through that they kind of set upon a few years ago after they regained some cap space and some draft capital and tore the roster down and have now begun to build it back up. To bring in someone new to actually lead this thing day in and day out as a head coach, you have that opportunity for now, Ryan Poles, to see if a better coach, a better schematic coach, a better, you know, more sort of determined and urgent leader, can that be something where this collection of talent, if you continue to bolster it on the line of scrimmage, can you get more out of it than what they did last year?
He is Anthony Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show here on 670 The Score. Dave Wannstedt later on in the 5 o'clock hour. Top of the five, we'll talk about the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Well, yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is called Categories. We play it on Thursdays. The host comes up with usually two sports categories and one pop culture, things that have come up on the show during the week, but it's up to the host. It is their discretion. And today...
The host. Okay.
Brace.
Bob Barker?
Brace yourselves.
Weeb Eubanks.
The host today is Shane Reardon. Shane, oh, take it better. Away. Shane, take it away.
So you host I did decide, if people know who listen to this show, that sometimes I'll throw in a subjective category and you just have to figure out, hey, what do you think Shane likes the most about all these things? I didn't do that today.
Good.
We are doing
driveways.
Two sports and one non-sports. The first one, I need every Bulls first-round draft pick since 1990 in the wake of the news that they turned down a first-round draft pick for Lonzo Ball.
So these are every Bulls
first-round draft pick since 1990.
Oh, wow. I will go with Derrick Rose.
Yep, that's one of them. Good job, Speaks.
Thank you.
Eddie Curry.
Yep, that's another one.
Tyson Chandler.
No.
Was he second round?
He was a second rounder.
Oh, no.
No, he's not.
Thought they were both high first round.
No,
guys.
Tyson Chandler was like number two.
Like they were one and three, right?
Yeah,
or something
they were
like that.
One and three.
Maybe, yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well,
hold on. That could be
way,
on me. Like, oh, nope.
I don't mind if I'm wrong. I can
yep,
have my.
He was the second overall pick in 2001.
There were one and two.
I got left off my list.
I should have been writing down more names while you were looking that up. I lost valuable time.
Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I'll go with Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
Jimmy Ooh. Butler.
Okay. That was pick 30 in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Scottie Pippen.
Since 1990. Oh. No, you're out, brother. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, bad look.
Elton Brand.
Yep, Elton Brand, 1999,
1-1. Okay.
Kirk Heinrich.
Kirk Heinrich out of Kansas, 2003, 1-7.
Tanny, you and me, baby.
Jason Caffey.
Jason Caffey, 1995, 1-2.
I'll go with Marcus Fizer.
Marcus Fizer. Yeah, you're always pushing that. 2000, 1-4.
Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah, yes. Florida, 2007.
I will go with Wendell Carter.
Wendell Carter, yes. 2018, 1-7.
I'll go Patrick Williams.
Patrick Williams, yes. 2020, 1-4.
How about Doug McDermott?
Doug McDermott, no.
What?
No.
I should be writing down more names.
I mean, I guess he was technically drafted by Denver and they made the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So who was the other person that they drafted?
It was the guy, it was Gary Harris.
Gary Harris, correct.
So Gary Harris would have been correct.
Yep. Oh. Tanny, give me one and you win it.
Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis, yes. 2015, 1-2.
That is tremendous.
Oh, wow.
That is tremendous. Tanny wins the category.
The doctor is in.
The doctor is in. Jason Caffey was a delightful.
Oh, I could have gone Corey Blunt, Dickie Simpkins.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I blew it on McDermott.
All right,
good category.
With Dan Bernstein's guy, Matis Buzelis, competing in the dunk contest this weekend, I need every winner since... They did it in 1984.
Oh, 84? So we're going all the way back to the beginning?
You can go back to the beginning, sure. I have all of them here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Every dunk contest winner. Anthony, you go first.
All right. Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I don't know.
Check that, Shane. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think he won a couple. Yeah. 88 and 87.
Okay.
Tanny?
Harold Miner, Baby Jordan.
93.
Should we just go with all the versions of Jordan?
Yeah. I'll go with Kenny Skywalker.
89.
Thank you very much.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Yes. 97.
Spud Webb.
Probably.
Yeah, I think Spud Webb did win it.
Famously, right?
Famously.
Yeah, 86.
86, okay. Spud Webb. I'll go with Larry Nance.
The first one, 84.
Good Larry
one.
Nance. Yeah.
That was in Denver.
that all was pertinent information random, here.
Yeah, I'll give you the, I've got the locations thank too, you. Dude.
That was extra, right. Extra information. thank God, I was wondering where that was. Where did Larry Nance win the dunk contest? It's
Denver.
He dunked two balls at once. I remember it.
What location did Dominique Wilkins win at?
Yeah, that's good.
90 in Miami.
Okay. Tanny.
And 85 in Indy.
Did someone say Vince Carter yet?
Nope. No, you're good okay. there. Oakland.
Vince Carter. I will go with the Celtics. D. Brown.
Yes, D. Yes. Brown won it in 91.
Good one.
That was in Charlotte.
Okay.
How about one Zachary LaVine?
Yeah, Zach won it in 2016 and 15.
Hmm.
Location?
Toronto and New York, respectively.
Thank you for that.
Yep. Is this me?
Yeah.
Brent Berry in the warm-ups. That's what I'm hoping Matas does. He comes out in the warm-up top.
96, right. Brent Berry.
No. Let me say, Matas mentioned he's going to wear a jersey. I think it's Zach, because Zach taught him some dunks.
That'd be cool.
And Zach won it twice. So I think it's going to be a Zach LaVine jersey. It's my prediction. I'm going to go with Mac McClung.
Yes, two years in a row, the most recent, 2023 and 2024.
And he's going to try to do a three-peat this coming weekend.
Fun fact about Mac McClung, Polk Cats Tommy, the head of security at Polecats, the strip club, once showed me Mac McClung highlights when he was in high school when I was at Polecats.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I met Polecats Tommy.
Sweet.
Was that the most impressive thing you saw that
night? It was a Blackout Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, just me and some high school buddies.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Mom, if you're hearing that. She listens pretty much every day.
How about... I feel like Kenny Smith won it at some point.
Oh, he won the three-point contest.
I feel like he did like he dribbled it between his legs. It bounced off the backboard. He dunked it. Didn't win for that, huh?
No, I don't have a Kenny Smith here.
Oh, okay.
All right. Tanny, you and me.
Did we say Neek?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yeah, remember he won in Miami.
Isaiah J.R. Ryder, being very specific for the guy with the list.
Yeah, over there. In 94.
Yeah. How about Tom Chambers? I'm going to go Tom Chambers.
Tom Chambers.
Keep going back.
Ooh, he might have been a better in-game dunker. Did he win a dunk contest?
Tom Chambers did not win a dunk contest. What year do you think it would have been?
I thought for sure 1987?
Is that just a guess?
I know. I just Googled it because I think I'm right. Not 1987?
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
No, Jordan won in 87.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
God.
It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, and that was in Seattle.
Oh. All right, Tanny, one more.
Did Kobe win one?
We had that one already.
Oh, what about did...
Oh, I got so many more dunkers.
All right, well, you win.
You guys are missing like so many
win
obvious
that.
Ones.
Did Dr. J win one of the early ones?
No.
No?
All right. He won, I think, an ABA.
That's what I'm thinking
so
in my head.
I was going to go Jason Richardson.
Yes.
That was going to go Richard Dumas.
Did he?
Phoenix Suns. Didn't Richard Dumas win the dunk contest? No?
No, not on my specific list.
Who jumped? Right. Oh, Blake Griffin, right?
Yeah,
also.
Blake Griffin. Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson.
John Wall. Derek Jones Jr. with the Bulls won it.
Who's the Magic Center with the Superman deal?
Dwight Howard.
Gerald Green. Josh Smith.
All right. Who was the... There was another Phoenix guy in the era of Richard Dumas who won it. Who am I thinking of?
Are you thinking of Cedric Ceballos?
I am indeed.
Are you thinking of my guy, the pride of Traverse City, Michigan, Dan Marley? That would have been a three-point.
No, I was thinking of Cedric Ceballos. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Very fun category, thank you.
Final category. With the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, anyone who's hosted more five times or more.
Oh, the Five Timers
Club.
Is that the smoking jacket deal?
Yes, it is. They get the private club. That's good stuff. Yep. Tanny, you can go first.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is on there, yes.
Steve
Martin. He did that one in New York.
Steve Martin.
Yes, Steve Martin on that list.
Five
16 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have gone with Steve Martin.
Pick a different one.
Candace Bergen.
Yes, Candace Bergen.
Yeah.
Wow! Five times. Just based off that.
Anthony Heron.
5 times between November 8th of 75 and May 19th of 90.
My namesake, Christopher Walken.
Yes, Christopher Walken is on the list.
Oh my God.
7 times.
The Five Timers Club. How about Paul Simon?
Paul Simon.
Good call.
No.
What?
That's no. Wow. That's got to be accurate.
He's 4.
Really?
Wow. But you're thinking all the times he was on there as a musical guest.
No,
so like,
no. You know what? I'm not. He didn't make the Five Timers Club, and that was
one of the. Did they do a sketch around that?
Yeah, they did a sketch. That's where they invented the Five Timers Club.
They wouldn't let him in the room.
That's right. They wouldn't let him in.
Steve Martin was hosting that show, and they wouldn't let him in.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I remember that.
Damn it!
Yeah, you're out.
I'm out again. Ant.
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy on the list 5 times.
Incredible.
Wow. Did we say Alec Baldwin yet?
I don't think so.
No, he's 1. Yeah, okay. We didn't say Alec Baldwin. 17 times.
Wow. Who's the guy who... Oh, that's Steve Martin. I was going to say, this guy who used to host so much that we thought he was in the cast when he wasn't. That was Steve Martin.
Well, there is, there is someone
so
like that.
So Billy Crystal was briefly in the cast, right? But
he hosted
a bunch.
He was supposed to be in the debut in the pilot or in the first episode, but he didn't make it. He got cut.
And then, he is not a 5-timer.
Let's see.
Dun, dun, dun.
Are there any more females?
Yeah.
All right. Then let me go with
3 pretty big ones.
Yeah.
I mean, they're regular in stature, but...
Rebecca Lobo? First big female.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
How about...
Be careful.
Right. Amy Poehler?
Amy Poehler, not a 5-timer.
No.
Okay.
So, Tanny, just need one more to finish it.
Did we say everyone's favorite Chevy Chase?
We did not say that.
Is he? Yeah, he had to have, right?
Yeah, he's on.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hell yeah,
man.
All right.
Excellent job.
Alec Baldwin, Steve Martin, John Goodman, Buck Henry. You didn't get Elliot Gould, Danny DeVito, Drew Barrymore, Tina Fey, Scarlett Johansson, John Mulaney.
There you go.
Bill Murray, Justin Timberlake, Ben Affleck.
Man, big club.
Dwayne Johnson, a 5-timer.
Great category.
Really? Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Excellent job,
really
Shane.
Really good categories today.
Sunday night is the live show for the SNL 50. Gotta carve out some time.
Do you think Eddie Murphy shows up for that?
It's a good question. It's a very good question.
He was at the 40, right?
I think he was at the 40. Was surprised at the 40.
Yeah.
So yeah, right. I bet he's there. It's 670. The score. That was categories. Tanny's your winner. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. When we come back, a man who apparently embodies everything about a terrible professional sports franchise seems like a good fit to me. Let's discuss on the score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Pat Tomasulo.
Well, look, I've had a good run.
You're the oldest. We could eliminate you. Tribute to Cyrus would go on. They'd find somebody else.
Hey, wait a minute.
Afternoons on the score.
It sounds like there's already conversations going on that aren't involving me, which are interesting.
That is the former New York Jets quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Heard of him.
2 years with the Jets. Obviously, the first year lasted, what, 4 plays?
Ish. Yeah.
And the second year, they went 5-12, I believe. Or was it, they went 5-12. So not a great 2-year run. And in fact, during the 2-year run, Aaron exerted so much of his personality, his ideas, his vision.
11 guys on the field, you know, sometimes it's my fault.
Sometimes.
It's the best you're going to get out of me.
But man, he got people fired. He got people hired who then got fired. He got people traded away. He got people traded there. They handed the keys of that entire organization to Aaron freaking Rodgers.
Didn't realize he was such a big proponent of DEI. I did not know that about Aaron Rodgers until he got to the Jets. Very passionate about it.
Was it really?
Seems to be. based off all the people he just keeps tagging along with him for no reason at all.
Just dragging them along with him.
Yeah.
And then what's the statement from Woody Johnson today when Woody Johnson announced that they were done with Aaron Rodgers?
Chairman of the Jets, Woody Johnson, put out in the Jets statement, "I personally want to thank Aaron for his time at the New York Jets. His arrival in 2023 was met with unbridled excitement, and I will forever be grateful that he chose to join us to continue his Hall of Fame career. From day one, he embodied all that it meant to be a New York Jet. Embraced our fans.
That's it.
And immersed himself in our city. That is what I will remember most when I look back at his lengthy, extensive, he didn't put all those adjectives. At his time here. He will always be welcome, and I wish him only the best in whatever he chooses to do next."
So what does it mean to be a New York Jet? If in 2 years, if that guy and his run embodies everything it means to be a New York Jet.
Well.
So that means to be washed up, to deliver incredibly poorly on the promise and dreams of everything that the fans want.
To frustrate your fan base endlessly.
Oh, my God.
Week after week, game after game.
To alienate your teammates and coaches along the way.
Did that at a high level.
To selfishly stay away from off-season activities and clearly make sure that you're putting time into your own self-executive produced documentary that ends up on Netflix.
To threaten to retire, perhaps, and perhaps pursue a political career. I think that was very, very emblematic of the Jets as an organization.
To prioritize your once weekly media appearance, where you're, inflaming storylines and making headlines and breaking news along the way. I mean, that embodies everything it is to be a New York Jet.
I mean, what Jet hasn't done that historically, especially the Hall of Famers?
That organization sucks.
I mean, Joe Willie Namath was on the Pat McAfee show constantly, just going off about all kinds of conspiracy theories. I mean, we know that about Broadway Joe.
Can you imagine being the owner of an NFL franchise and thinking that these last 2 years and what Aaron Rodgers is embodies everything that your franchise is? I mean, what the hell? What an excessive, over-the-top, unnecessary...
Unnecessary. He definitely didn't need to go that far with it.
No, man.
Yeah, didn't have to say
it. It's laughable. You can say nice things if you want.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted the statement. I just got kind of
caught up. That guy was so talented.
Yeah.
Man, it was too bad that didn't work out. I hope it works out somewhere else.
Sure,
that could have been
we thank
the
Aaron.
Breadth and depth of the statement.
That's really all you need.
Yeah.
Can I bring something up real quick, Speaks? I'm sorry.
Please. No, yes, please.
Tanny and I just saw this picture that you sent of your home theater. And as a speaker purist, I'm kind of worried about your speaker placement.
Uh-oh.
So can you talk to me about the thought process that went behind the way you placed your speakers in your home theater room?
So this is, for anybody who doesn't know, Anthony lives in a house. They've been redoing the basement. And the picture that Shane is referring to showcases some speakers, which seem to be mounted on the floor.
Let me see.
Well, no, they're in wall, which is fine. But, and that's good. But
one is sideways.
Your center speaker is not centered with the TV, and the right bookshelf is...
Let me see what we're... Which ones are
I mean,
you,
it's your house.
All right,
you should know what I'm talking about.
Center speaker here.
I figured it was 51. We only had a few more minutes. I could derail us for a second.
It's not centered with the TV.
Yeah, just on the theme of like your house stuff this
show. Okay, yeah. I mean, there's definitely been some house stuff. But
yeah.
So it's not, you're saying it's not centered with the TV or with the room?
Just the room. Just the TV, like your listening position. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we ended up, the TV is just slightly off-center to the right, and we went with that as the position just because of the layout. We did like two different tiers of chairs. There's going to be a row of chairs on the ground floor, row of chairs on the second floor, and kind of a walking path along the side of the room. So the TV is just sort of skewed to the right. So we did the speakers more in line with the TV than just kind of centering everything up on the room as a whole.
All right, so hand up. This doesn't translate to radio, and I'm so sorry for taking that shot. It was only a couple minutes, but...
Does that kind of explain where we're at, though?
Sure, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So how
sorry
many,
about that, Speaks.
You're good. How many chairs you got in the theater room? At this point. Is it chairs or is it couches? What are you doing?
Chairs. Going to go with chairs, reclining chairs, a little light-up deal in the cup holder and in the front base of them. There's only three set up right now because there's still some work happening kind of in the, you know, different little cosmetic things around the room,
yeah,
painting and touch-ups and stuff. But, yeah, there will be six. Going to go two rows of three, enough space in the front where, if, like, some kids are over to watch a movie or something, maybe throw little bean bags on the floor or something like that up the front, too. A little walking area in the back so my wife can stand up and yell at the Red Sox, you know, when they're doing poorly, when Alex Bregman isn't working out.
You are living the joy that comes with the house. You're shoveling. And yes, you're super proud of your shoveling
prowess. The raking
prowess
has been my favorite part so far. The shoveling has been fine, but the raking I very much enjoy. You work up a better sweat when you rake than when you shovel. It's usually chilly outside when you shovel.
And now the basement and like doing all this stuff with the basement. Yeah. You're really
learning how to fix a few things.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to fix a water heater, which we need new water heaters. At least we're getting on that brink. So I'm either going to learn how to fix a water heater or I got to just go ahead and shell out some money to buy
it. Did you try turning it off and back on?
I blew in it, actually. I unplugged it and then blew in the open part. That didn't help. I'm running out of tricks of the trade here with the water heaters. But, yeah, I'm trying to decide. Do we stick with the tanks or do we go tankless? And if we do, that is a pretty penny. So I'm hoping to figure it out here soon.
You're still not in my top five shovelers, even though did a great job. No, I'm sorry. But one of our listeners,
on a scale.
Mike texted in. He's got a broken snowblower. And I know that Mike is kind of a heavier dude. Long suburban driveway and back area of the house. He appreciates the support. He knows, like, he's in my top five shovelers.
Oh, okay.
Without a doubt.
Right.
He's risking life, limb,
future. I mean, I'm not
future.
Light. We were just talking about mass. I mean, I'm a heavy guy.
No, but you're in unbelievable shape. You work out, clearly.
You have not seen my joints.
Do you work out, Anthony?
On occasion. Yeah. I'm going to work out more once we finish the gym.
All
but
right.
We haven't finished the gym yet. Then I'm going to work out a lot more than I do now.
He's Anthony Aaron. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. 670 The Score. All right, let's throw open the phone lines. Shane, pop open those phone lines. Let's talk to you, the Cubs fan. I want to know, because I got to say, I'm not happy that they missed out on Alex Bregman. But the number is so big in terms of the average annual value, and the player is such that I don't find myself fuming. I want to know if you're angry, because Cubs fans have been angry about cheapness or the perception of cheapness or the reality of the limitations, however you want to put it. And then today, this would seem to be a prime moment for you to come in, Cubs fans, and be angry about this. But I don't know if you are or not. I'm not seeing a lot of it. So I'm curious. And if you're not angry, tell us why. 312-644-6767. The Cubs miss out on Alex Bregman. You pissed or not? Tell us here at The Score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.